Amen. He lives. Thank you, Tricia, for that beautiful song. There is a house on a street nearby here that every holiday they have a lawn full of inflatables. And it doesn't matter if it's Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, 4th of July, Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and yes, even Easter, totally full. And I love this house because you drive down the street and it's a happy house. And so I stopped by, okay, pulled out my camera, took the picture, and I was going to go talk to him to say, because I got two questions. I wanted to know, okay, how much do all of these things cost? Because this little setup they have here is nothing compared to Christmas. There's no green showing in the lawn, or I mean, no snow. I mean, it's packed, and same thing on Thanksgiving, and so it's a happy house. And then I want to know, where do they put it all? I mean, every holiday it is full, and it's fun. And I love driving down that street. So if you're here, if you're the owner of that house, talk to me afterwards, or you know the person. I just got to know these things. So for many, Easter is filled with rabbits and eggs and baskets and all the things that are part of this season. For some, it is the hope of spring. I mean, we woke up this morning and it wasn't raining, and it was the sun was out, and the sun is beautiful. We say, amen. It was glorious. And it's the springtime is a time of hope and renewal. It's a chance to buy new clothes, and you come to church and you're with family, and many of you will enjoy times around the dinner table today, and it's a glorious and good day. And all those fun and enjoyable things, though, they're not really life-changing if you don't get what the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus is all about. They're fun. They're enjoyable, but they're not life-changing. On Good Friday, we celebrated the fact that Jesus went to the cross for us. He suffered and died on the cross for us. He was buried. And on this glorious day, we celebrate that he rose from the dead. The fact that he rose from the dead. And so today, it's a big deal. Matter of fact, Tim Keller has said this: if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. And if he didn't raise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. And we're here to shout from the mountaintops, he is alive. Adrian Rogers had said this: the resurrection is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. It is the singular doctrine that elevates Christianity above all other world religions. And that is so true. Because he lives, we live in Christ. And so this morning, I want to talk about four significant truths of the resurrection that if you believe them, if you really believe them, they are life-changing. They are life-altering for every one of us. I could have given more. Ed and I were talking this week, and we narrowed it down to four. So here we go. Number one, through the resurrection of Christ, we have forgiveness and can forgive. We have forgiveness and can forgive. In 1 Corinthians 15, the passage that Dale read earlier, it says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins." And now I want to pause there for a second. Why is this so big? Because he died for your sins. He died for my sins. And I know, you know, sin is negative to talk about, but can I just remind us that the reality that we are all fallen people, we're all sinners. And you might be better than the person next to you, but before an infinitely holy God, we stand, we're broken. We need a redeemer. We need a savior. We have sinned against the God of the universe in word, attitude, and action a million times. This week, you have been angry. You've been grumpy, some of you, some of me. I'm just telling you all my stuff. We're just broken, and we want to do good, and yet there's sin. So we need a Savior. He says that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. When Christ died on that cross, He bore the penalty that your sins and my sins deserve. Your sins and my sins will be judged. Either they will be put upon you, or they were put upon Jesus Christ, who is the payment for our sins. And when we, by faith alone in Jesus, not by your good works, not by church membership, no one gets to heaven through this church or any other church. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when we by faith come to Him and humble ourselves and acknowledge our sin and say to Him, Lord, forgive me. The promise of Scripture is that He takes our sins and removes them as far as the east is from the west. And he makes that offer to all. And so when we accept that, it says in Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. It was a gift that by faith we received. And we're forgiven. The debt, everyone talks about the national debt, the trillions of dollars. Well, the trillions of debt that we have of our sin was paid by Christ on the cross. He said, it is finished. It is paid in full. And so He did that for our sins, that we might be forgiven. So if you're here today and you believe that gospel and you have trusted Him, everything you've done, past, present, and future, you're forgiven. That is a glorious truth. That is a truly glorious truth. And if you're here and you're like, bored, not too interested, then you haven't looked at your life and you haven't seen the massive need that we have. And one of the great things is not only are we forgiven, but then we have the ability, the capacity, because the moment you believe, God the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, and now you can forgive others. And we're called to do that. Jesus said, or it says in God's word, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So you have been or will be wronged in this world. And what are you called to do? As a believer, you're called to forgive. And you say, I can't forgive that person. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know. And it's, well, you're right. I'm sure it is massive. But we don't fully understand what we have done to Christ in our sin and putting Him on the cross. And so, as He has forgiven me, who am I not to forgive someone who sins against me? My debt of sin is trillions. And you might have wronged me, but it's nothing compared to what I have done to Christ. And so, He tells us we're to forgive. And he says it over and over again in Scripture. My debt's been paid, I'm forgiven, and I can forgive you. And that's one of the benefits of the resurrection. But it's not the only thing. Number two, point two. Through the resurrection of Christ, we have freedom. We are free. Mel Gibson, as he, in the movie Braveheart, last words out of his mouth were, freedom! And we have that. We are free in Christ. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 6, page 1199 in your pew Bibles. And I want you to know how this is such an amazing truth, because He did His work. Christ died on the cross not to leave you just forgiven and to leave you your same old lame self. He came and He forgave you that you would be transformed, that you would be changed. He came that you would be a different person. There is a God and there is a devil out there. And that devil lies to us every day. And Jesus said of the evil one, He says, he calls him a thief, and he says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And when we receive that free gift of eternal life, God the Holy Spirit, like the hand inside the glove, came to live within us, to change us, to make us different people. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says, now we know that the old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And that's exactly what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this life that we live now, that he is changing us, we're not our own. We're bought with a price. We're called to glorify God in our bodies. He goes on in Romans 6, 9 to say, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. You got to get that. That he died once for all. He did that for us. But the life he lives to God. Christ died to sin in really two senses, sin's penalty and sin's power. And he goes on in verse 11 to say, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. And verse 14 says, for sin will not have dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Before we could do no wrong, or we could do no right. We sinned in attitude all the time. But now, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can choose to live differently. And by the way, Jesus demands that we live differently. He wants, he's like, it's a free gift, but those who know me, they're going to be different. They're going to be changed. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so you have in Christ a freedom now to live differently, to battle sin with the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants us. He says in Scripture says in Romans 12:1, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as his followers, we now have the freedom to go and live a different life. Not for ourselves. You live for yourself. Sooner or later, it becomes a force that wrecks your life and consumes you. And we can all testify that we've done that to one degree or another. But when we give our lives to him, there is freedom and hope. Third thing, through the resurrection of Christ, we have ultimate purpose now. This is for every one of you, young or old. Young or old, you have a purpose now. And that purpose is not for you. I mean, we can live our lives. Oh, we can live our lives to put ourselves at the center. But all the work you do, all the money you make, all the recreation you have, all the things you have. So let's say you go out and you buy all kinds of things. Those things own you. You own them, but they own you. That's life. And they're not bad, but all these things that we kind of live for and can live for are not ultimate. They are just not the main thing. And the importance of the resurrection is that Christ, not only has he changed things, but he lets us know you are here for him and his purposes. You ever sit there and say, why am I here? I mean, that's a great question. Are you here to be happy? Well, if you're just here to be happy, you will never know the happiness apart from understanding the fullness of what Christ has done for you. In 1 Corinthians 15, again, that passage that Dale read, I encourage you to go home, read the whole thing. It's a glorious chapter about the resurrection of Jesus. Not only of what he's done, but of the fact that if Christ has not been raised, like, we're wasting our time here. But then he goes on to say that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And then he talks about what's going to happen. There's going to come a day as we die that we're going to put off these old bodies, and we're going to have glorified bodies. And there's going to be a hope and a future. And I'm telling you, it's funny because we got young ones. You guys are young. We got some very young ones here. And then we have some of them all the way up to us that are getting older. And then there's some that are, I don't want to be mean. You're old. Okay. Oh, you said that. Old's a relative number. I don't think we have. Do we have any 100-year-olds in here? No. Okay. So you're not old. Look, let me encourage you. You're not old. Officially, when we had our 300-year-olds, that was the number for the 100-year-olds. But here's what I know. I turned 57 this month, or next month. I'm getting older. Outwardly, I'm wasting away. I don't like it. My mom, who's currently right now in rehab, just came out of a pneumonia. She's turning 94 next month. Outwardly, she's really wasting away. Now, here's what I figure. Okay, I'm in better shape than she was when she was 57. So I'm going to make it to 100. Great. But you know what's going to happen? It ain't going to be good. It's just not. I mean, this fine-looking body I have, right? It's going to get worse, okay? And it's going to get worse for all of us. So you're young and you're healthy. Enjoy what God gives you. But the fact is that he made us for a purpose, that we would live for him. And then we have that purpose in life. At the end of 1 Corinthians 15, he said this: "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." There's a lot of things I do throughout the week that are, I mean, I do them, they're good. Like, you know what's coming up? Lawn mowing season. You're going to have to get out there, pull weeds, mow the lawn. And then in another week, or springtime, 3 days, more weeds, more lawn. And it seems meaningless, doesn't it? It's like, no, you got to do it, or you're going to get a ticket. I mean, that's how it works. But you got to do it, but it's like, it just seems meaningless. The things we do in the Lord, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead, and he has given us purpose, that we would shine as his lights and be his ambassadors. And not only that, there's joy. Psalm 16, verse 11, "You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So through the resurrection of Jesus, we have forgiveness and can forgive. We have freedom. You have ultimate purpose now. You really do. If you're wondering why you're here, you're here for him and to live for his glory. And the fourth thing, through the resurrection of Jesus, we have real hope. You do have a real hope. This week, I'm in the office, and we get a fax. And this fax is made out to me. And it is from a member of Lawyers Without Borders, a lawyer named Michael Crinson. And it appears that my long-lost relative, Maya Switek, has passed away, and there is an unclaimed payment of death benefit deposit worth $13.3 million for me. And this fact says that all I have to do is contact this lawyer, and he will fill out the paperwork out of the kindness of his heart, and he will split that $13.3 million with me 50-50. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, this is good news. I mean, I'm getting excited because half of that is like $6.5 million, and you know what? Can't we all use a few bucks every extra? You know, yesterday all that rain, my crawl space, you know, it got water in it. I got to fix that. It's like, okay, I could use that. So what do? I call him. I call him once. I call him twice, and you know what happened? Voice box is full. Are you kidding me? Really? You're going to tell me you're going to give me $6.5 million and I go to call you and, you know, mailbox is full? It's like, okay, can you get a little bigger mailbox? I mean, you know, if we get this, if we're going to split this $6.5 million, get a one that when people like me call, you have this. And so hopes are dashed. Now, I know, all right? It's kind of like, you know, there's a Egyptian prince that if you send them money, they're going to give you all kinds of money. So you just, I get it, it's a scam. But there are things that we realize that, you know what, this world tries to dangle things and says, this will give you hope. That job's going to give you hope. That relationship's going to give you hope. That miracle cure, you do that little thing, it's going to give you hope. And really, the hope we have that is real hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. That's real hope. We are kept by the power of God. I have a hope that not only my sins are forgiven, but I have a future hope. And that hope includes life. John, and Jesus said in John 14, 19, yet in a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. We have in Jesus the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That phrase, born again, for some of you, you've never heard that phrase, or you've heard it and it's been put in a negative context. But where that comes from is John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, there's a man who is a Pharisee. He's a religious person. And his name is Nicodemus. He's a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he comes to Jesus at night, and he says, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher from God, because no one could do what you're doing unless God is with him. And Jesus turns and looks at him and says, I tell you the truth, that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And so here's this religious leader saying, born again? Confusing. He's like, I don't get it, basically. He's saying, how can a man, when he's old, what's he going to do? Go into his mother's womb? Be born twice? It's like, that doesn't make sense. And then Jesus goes on to explain the truth of who he is and what he would do. And just a few verses later in John chapter 3, verse 16, he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe him would not perish but have eternal life. And so this hope we have, he goes on to say in verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. I mean, you talk about a real future hope that we have. He is talking about heaven. He is talking about the promise that we have. He's talking about in reality, in this world, as we go through difficult times. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. No eye has seen, no ear heard, nor mind can imagine what God has prepared for those that love him. Your hope is, I mean, we put our hopes in the little things of the earth, you know, whether it's a relationship or a job or a sports team. You know, it's like, oh, the Lions are looking good this year, right? How many times have you said that if you've been a Lions fan? They're looking good. And even, let's just do the impossible. Let's say the Detroit Lions end up winning the Super Bowl. I mean, not only would there be mass riots all around the Tri-County area, but then we would get done and we'd say, finally, 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 isn't this great, isn't this great? And then you'd say, now what? Now what? That's what this world offers you, now what? Because you can have it, you can get what you want, and then it's now what? And Jesus says, no, 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 no. I've come to you that you might have life and have it to the full and have reason and have purpose. And so on this glorious resurrection Easter Sunday, let me just tie this all together with what Jesus asks of us. And he says to us in John chapter 11, verse 25, this is when Lazarus had died. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asks the question, do you believe this? And really, that's a question for everyone here. Do you really believe? Not do you have an intellectual assent, but do you really believe? Have you really given all of yourself, transferred your trust to the God of the universe? Or is this just a Easter thing? Do you really believe? Years ago, there's a story of a tightrope artist, acrobat, who would get on the tightrope on the Niagara Falls. And this is like back in the day when it was real, not like the last guy that went and they had him tethered to the line. I mean, I started watching that. It's like, really? You got him tethered? I mean, that's not exciting to me. So he falls. He's dangling. They're going to be able to fish him out of there. But this guy, they had nothing. And he takes his wheelbarrow and he goes all the way across the Niagara Falls and he comes back. And then he says to the crowd, do you believe that I can put someone in this wheelbarrow and take them across and bring them back? And they all said, yes. And then they said, who will jump in the wheelbarrow? And really, that's what Jesus is saying to you. Will you come to me? Don't sit there and come on an Easter service and make much about the resurrection. But he's saying to you, give me your life. Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Give him everything. Transfer all of your trust. When we, by faith, do that. And maybe we did it years ago, but we've wandered from the reality that he is my treasure. He is my all. He is my life. When we give him our lives, then all those things come true. He is our joy. He is our hope. He's the purpose we live. We are able to forgive. We're able to live meaningful lives. We are always going in this world. We're going from one thing to another. Have you ever noticed that? We do. If you look at your calendar, what's the next thing? Well, I got this vacation coming up. And then after Easter, you know, then there's Memorial Day, and we're planning this on Memorial Day. And then we got this birthday coming up, and we got this. And then before you know it, it's almost Christmas time. And then we're always looking for the next thing. And those are not all bad. But really what he's saying, okay, make me the center thing in your next thing. Make me the treasure of it all. I'm going to pray for us because I want us to have an Easter that is life-changed by the King as we come to him. And whether you are young or old, can I just say, especially to the younger kids that are here and the older kids that are here, why are you here? You're here because God put you here. He's given you life, and he wants you to live for him. And when you live in that, there is joy and happiness and purpose. So I want to pray that for all of us. Lord, I come to you right now. You know every heart. You really do. You have our lives. And some have come through these doors, and we're doing it because we love you, and we want to worship our risen Savior. And some of us have come through the doors because it's just what you do on Easter, and we're off to a family dinner afterwards. And so, Lord, I pray that you would so move in our lives that we would truly understand the significance of Resurrection Sunday morning, and that you would be our treasure and our all. So, Lord, do your work in our lives. Move within our lives. If we don't get it fully, Lord, make us, if you would, miserable until we find our joy in you. And Lord, when we get it, may we revel in the truth of who you are and what you have done. So we give you this day. We give you our hearts. And we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We sing one more song that reminds us of the complete story of what Jesus came to do. And the source of our forgiveness, our freedom, our purpose, and our hope. to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Father, we come to you and we praise you for that glorious truth. Lord, as we go into this Resurrection Sunday afternoon, may we live in the light of that. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. Lord, may you renew our hearts and our minds, and may we leave here with a new passion and a new understanding, and live for the reason that you have made us. And we will ask all of these things in your glorious name, and all God's people said, amen.